Dallas last night. The Cowboys fall 20-17 at the hands of the Redskins in overtime. A good little Monday nighter as Jason Lockenfora joins us right now. How come those games couldn't happen on Thursday, Jason?
We got a couple. Yeah, our Thursday
night. I know.
Not that horrible. But it's tough. You know, the short week, it does play a role in why some of those games are not as competitive as we'd like. You know, I don't know how many of us thought that game last night would go the way it did. I mean, I think we pretty much all had it penciled in for a blowout, did we not? And it ended up being a heck of a ball game. And, you know, kudos to the Redskins. They played their tails off. That may be their Super Bowl. It probably was their Super Bowl. They were 1-15 in their last 16 NFC games. You know, the only teams they'd beat previous this year were Jacksonville and Tennessee. So for them, that's their Super Bowl.
The interesting thing about what we saw last night was how, I guess, the game kind of turned as we went along with injuries and obviously Tony Romo leaving the game. But what was really confusing to me was after Romo went down, why they didn't lean more on DeMarco Murray. He still had an outstanding game, don't get me wrong. But am I wrong in saying they could have used him more when Whedon came in?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Control the clock a little bit more. Their defense wasn't having a good game. They were having a lot of trouble when Jim Haslett, the Redskins' defensive coordinator, was bringing six guys on the blitz. They couldn't pick them up, which was weird because I think Dallas, up to that point, had the best offensive line in the game. But it was kind of a weird game all the way around. I don't know why they put Tony Romo back in there. I wouldn't have done it. He had multiple back surgeries. He just took a hit to the back. He was clearly in pain. I mean, to get a guy shot up in game and then put him back in with whatever, 4 minutes left, and the ball at his own 3-yard line or whatever, I don't know that there was a whole lot of sense in that. And then he gets, you know, and then Merriweather comes free on the safety blitz and nails him to the floor the first play he's back in there. I don't know. You know, sometimes you wonder who's really in charge there and if there really is anybody in charge. You know, Jerry Jones gets caught up in the moment, man, and he can't help himself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, looks like Tony Romo's okay. That's the most important thing for them. But certainly the Cowboys will have some questions to answer now.
Well, and they lose that game. It's their first loss since week one. And instead of being able to get to a mark they hadn't been at in a long, long time, they end up losing the game in overtime. We talked a couple weeks ago. I asked you, how for real are these Cowboys? You said they're for real, but that schedule as we move closer to December is going to be a real big test for them. Now that we've seen them win a few more games and then lose in overtime on Monday night last night, are these guys still for real in your eyes?
Well, that loss is going to be one that could really come back to bite them. I mean, they're at home on a long week against the beat team in a week where the Eagles lost. So they had a chance to really make some hay to keep a long winning streak going. And you know, to continue to sort of prosper and have that high level of confidence that they had developed. This is going to be a little different proposition now. Especially, you know, there's a couple of things that were potentially exposed there. I mean, if you can bring your corners and safeties off the edge and get home free that often, they've got issues. And, you know, they're going to get their right tackle, Doug Free, back in another week or so, but expect them to continue to attack his backup in the meantime. And on the other side of the ball, I mean, if they're that susceptible to the big play, and DeSean Jackson, it seemed like he was, whether the ball got there or not, he was open all game. Not everybody has a DeSean Jackson, I get that, but the longer that defense was on the field, it was a day where the Redskins did run the ball well with not just with Morris, but with Roy Helu as well. They controlled the time of possession. They controlled the clock. They established some play action, mm-hmm. and they exposed that defense deep. Not everybody can do that, but, you know, again, the longer that defense is on the field, the worse it's going to be for the Cowboys. And you know, DeMarco Murray only had 19 carries last night. That's a game in which I'm sure the way they drew it up, whether it was him or somebody else, they were going to run the ball 30-plus times.
Final thought on the game yesterday is a 2017 Redskins win over the Dallas Cowboys in overtime on Monday Night Football. Colt McCoy has had some pretty decent success since taking over at quarterback for the Washington Redskins, and it's been fun. The come-from-behind win last week, and then obviously a pretty thrilling win yesterday on the road. But what are we talking about as we look towards the future in the next few weeks at quarterback? With RG3 getting closer to returning to action, what's Washington's game plan here at quarterback?
It's RG3. The owner wants RG3 to work. The owner in the previous regime gave up a ton, gave up the farm, basically two drafts to get that kid. They sell RG3 jerseys. They don't sell Colt McCoy jerseys. You know, Colt McCoy hadn't played a starting the game in 3 years for a reason. That was interesting. And it was great what Colt did, but he doesn't have a future. I don't think, and I don't know anyone in the league who thinks he does. I mean, so he was a band-aid to get them to, between, you know, when Cousins failed, to when they'll turn it back over to RG3. I don't know if RG3 will stay healthy for even 2 or 3 weeks. So hopefully he can end up still playing the last month of the season or more based on, you know, if RG3 is able to stay healthy. But they're hopefully, in their minds, going to give the second half of the season to Griffin to find out exactly what they have there. Because irregardless of last night's performance, this is a team that's going to be picking somewhere in the top 5 to top 7. And they just may need to take a quarterback again. And they're going to need to know that.
I was asking you about Michael Vick getting the start over Geno Smith this weekend for the New York Jets. And just kind of your thoughts on what has led to that decision.
Well, look, there's a lot going on behind the scenes there now. There's some friction between the coaching staff and the front office. John Idzik, their GM, spent the better part of the day in a very long, laborious, and awkward press conference talking about how Geno Smith is still the future. He just needed more reps. Geno Smith has got to be developed, and he just needs more time, and everybody goes through a rough patch. And then Rex Ryan comes out a half hour later and says he's benched. So, Mike Vick doesn't look like he wants to play football. I mean, when he has to come into these games, the Packers game and last week, it wasn't pretty. He looked at him on the sidelines and was almost like, really? Like, I got to go in there? So I don't think it's going to make any difference at all. And if it's me and I'm running that team, I want Geno Smith to play because you might as well try to see what he's got in the second half of the year. You drafted him that high for a reason. You're not going to win with either quarterback. You might as well play the kids. But I'm sure Rex Ryan's looking at that saying, you know what? I'm not going to be here next year either, so I don't care about the future. So I'm going to roll with the veteran and see if I can win some football games and make my record look a little better when I'm applying for these jobs in 2 months.
Is that how Rex Ryan's going about his business at this point? Like, there's no way he's back next year, right?
No, I don't think Idzik is back either. I mean, I think Woody Johnson's got to start from scratch there. He's going to have – it's a very big market. It's very competitive. There's two teams there. They're always sort of the redheaded stepchild. Their back-to-back AFC championship appearances seem like a distant memory at this point. He needs something to sell. He can't sell his quarterback. He can't sell any of his skilled players. His best player is a defensive lineman, Muhammad Wilkerson, and he doesn't have a contract extension yet. They're not paying him. So he's got to sell a coach. He's got to sell a new regime. And I think he'll chase one of these big fish. And if he puts enough money in front of somebody, I guess he'll take it. So I don't know how it's going to play out, guys. But I don't think whoever's there, if it is a big fish coach, is going to want John Idzik to be his general manager. I think Rex is going to have a clean slate. I mean, I'm sorry, Woody's going to have a clean slate, and that won't include Rex.
How marketable is Rex Ryan league-wide? How sought after would he be as a head coach if and when he becomes on the market?
I think he'll get interviews. I don't know that he'll get a job right off the bat. Like, I could see Miami, if it goes sour there and he can't land, Harbaugh, who he'd love to get, or he can't land one of the top college coaches. And let's face it, Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner, hasn't landed anybody he's chased as a head coach. That's why how he ended up with Joe Philbin in the first place. He couldn't get Fisher, he couldn't get Harbaugh, any of these guys. So I can see Rex down there. You know, they've got a pretty good defense already. I could see him being that personality that maybe that's the best Stephen Ross can do if things play out that way. I you know, I don't know. Rex would be really good in the media as well. And if he wants to do that for a year and kind of build his brand that way and make some pretty good money for a year and recharge his batteries, he'll definitely have suitors in that regard.
Jason Lockenfor is with us. He's our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. How about that nightmare season in St. Louis getting worse yesterday with the news of Jake Long being done for the season? This year, from Sam Bradford at the beginning of the year to them being 2-5, uncertainty as to what they're doing at head coach going forward, and now Jake Long done for the season. Can't be much worse for the Rams.
No. But, I mean, you got to be realistic about this, too, now. I mean, if you thought Sam Bradford and Jake Long were going to stay healthy for 16 games, I would have liked to take in your money if you wanted to make that bet. I mean, you got to be realistic about what they were. I mean, there's a reason Jake Locker got there's a reason Jake Long didn't get real guarantee money and didn't get a real long-term contract because his knees were problems in Miami. There were serious health risks. So they knew what they were getting there. And Sam Bradford was hurt a lot in college, and he's been hurt his entire pro career. So I mean, there's a lot of things that have gone wrong there, but I can't make it. When you've got injury-prone players and you decide you're going to give Sam Bradford another $13-plus million to come back for another year coming off an ACL injury, and he hurts the ACL again. I mean, shame on you, shame on him. I mean, I don't know, but, that's sort of where they are. I mean, their other right tackle, Roger Saffold, he's an injury risk. I mean, when you take on those guys and then they get hurt, you can't be surprised about it.
Yeah, fair enough. And the nightmare year, they'd like it to end as quickly as possible in St. Louis if they could right now. Just a couple more.
The real question in St. Louis is where they play next year.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a lost season. They don't have a lease beyond this year. The owner's dying to get to L.A. Because is he able to work closely enough with the league to pull that off? Because there's no doubt that if left to his own devices, Stan Kroenke would be already in the process of getting that team ready to move to L.A. as soon as the season ends.
Right. Yeah, fair enough. And that's something that, you know, you don't necessarily think about when talking about a few teams, but you're right. There's some big questions that need to be answered when it comes to off the field as well. Just a couple more with Jason Lockenfor as the week gets going in a couple of days. Week 9 starts with Thursday Night Football. The NFC South in the spotlight, New Orleans and Carolina. Does either team right now, the Panthers or the Saints, strike you as a group that maybe could make some noise here, that maybe could get on a little bit of a run and maybe look like more of a playoff team than they look like right now?
I mean, there's a lot of talent in New Orleans. I don't, what I've said about some other teams, you know, will that prove to be their high water mark last week that they did to Green Bay? Or can they play that way every week defensively? I tend to think that they kind of are who they are and who most of the first half of the season, they stunk, and Rob Ryan looked lost. So I don't know. I don't know if they've now suddenly clicked and they found it. I tend to think not. But they went home. It was a big, nice, and televised game. Their season was on the line. They had a win. Tough week, you know, this week. They're traveling, and it's a short week. Now, Carolina's defense stinks, and I think they'll be able to score a fair amount of points against them. But they're going to win that division. I don't think they're built for the playoffs. And unless they have a top two seed and they have multiple games at home, then I think you're looking at a one and done for them.
Yeah, the whole thing with New Orleans is tough to wrap your head around. What's gone wrong with the Saints this year?
Well, they invested a lot of money in the offseason in their secondary. I mean, they've drafted in the secondary high the last couple of years. They thought Kendrick Vaccaro would be a franchise safety. They thought Champ Bailey could hold up for a year at corner. He's already retired. And they thought that Jairus Byrd would be a stud. They gave him a lot of money in free agency. Byrd got hurt right away, and he didn't look that good before he got hurt. So you're back to where you were before, which is a lot of corners and safeties you can't play. And when Rob Ryan blitzes that much and the blitz doesn't get home, you've taken a vulnerability in your secondary and magnified it exponentially because you don't have linebackers.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't have safeties dropping back. You've got safeties blitzing. You got outside linebackers blitzing. They're already upfield, caught left for dead. So he's going to have to recalibrate some of his philosophies for sure. I think they're going to run the ball a lot down the stretch. I really do. Mark Ingram looked great the other night. They'll get some of their other running backs, Robinson and Thomas, back. So they've got options there. Brandon Cooks, I think, will evolve as the season goes along. We've seen a little bit more of their deep fall. I don't believe in that defense. And you're going to really have to see guys like, you know, Cameron Jordan and Junior Gallette play like at an all-pro level for them to be able to sustain defensively, and I'm just not sure that's going to be the case.
Jason, as always, appreciate this, my friend. We'll talk to you again on Friday, but thank you so much, as always.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great week.